Go Set Magazine.
Hey, peace and love, man. James Valentine with you, and we're looking back at the life and times of Go Set Magazine. Back in the early 70s, Australia really began to open up as a touring destination for major international artists, with such names as Pink Floyd, Deep Purple, and Elton John visiting in 1971, pioneering outdoor concerts in Australia. At the peak of their career in 1972, Led Zeppelin also hit Australia's shores. Here's how Go Set remembered it.
Led Zeppelin's recent visit to Perth could not be called uneventful. At Subiaco Oval, they were swamped at the end of their performance by 100 eager fans, while police were just finishing their fight with over 300 would-be non-payers. Next morning, they were awoken in their Scarborough hotel while the drug squad made a swoop search. Guitarist and group leader Jimmy Page believes that the raid was some sort of a rebuff for the disturbance during their concert. The trouble at the gate started when several thousand people crowded around the entrance and several hundred commenced to ram the gates. Hundreds cut the fence wire and pulled gates from their hinges in an effort to join the already 8,000 people at the ground. Once through, many returned to the entrance to egg the others on.
Robert, what happened in Perth with the police busting in on you?
Oh, goodness knows. I think they were trying to get a bit of overtime in. I really don't know. I suppose it's the sign of the times, you know. Well, they did very well with the kids. They did very well with 99% of the people. But when you've got two people phoning the mayor, it's time to put a stop to it. I think Abraham Lincoln said that.
Or something anyway. The sort of governor sort of was so freaked out by these, you know, instigating an inquiry into why Led Zeppelin were raided.
Well, I really can't understand. A, I wasn't woken up. If I had been woken up, they'd have had me for assault and battery.
In Sydney, the atmosphere was a little more relaxed, with a record outdoor crowd of 26,000 at Sydney's showgrounds.
I don't know where you get the ex-groupie from.
Later, the world's most famous self-confessed groupie even appeared at their hotel reception for a close look. Jermaine Greer left with the group when they moved on to Lay Girls, Sydney's long-established drag show club.
No, I'm just a bit scared. So.
How long have you known her then?
Jimmy knows me better than he knows me. They used to go around the States together.
I don't care what you say, isn't it mean what they've done to Joe Cocker?
Will we expect any surprises?
Create one.
Another controversial tour to Australia in the 70s was by Joe Cocker. Cocker had achieved phenomenal chart success here with his albums Mad Dogs and Englishmen and Cocker Happy.
Whoever wants to rock and roll can come and rock and roll with me.
Go Set hailed his Sydney performance as the best rock show to ever hit Australia. However, Cocker's reputation as a wild man of rock was hard to shake, and disaster struck whilst on tour in Adelaide.
It's not really hard to see why the authorities in Australia didn't like Joe Cocker. He drank on stage, sweated profusely, and if he spoke any language at all, it wasn't theirs.
The press had a field day. One commercial TV newsreader had this to say about Joe.
If I had my way, Joe Cocker and his drugged-up group would be airlifted straight back across the Pacific. I'd make sure their passports are marked, never to return. We don't want his type here. They're about as welcome here as the Argentine fruit fly. Cocker is yet another of those uncouth, dirty-haired, sloppily dressed show business freaks who, because of overnight fame, sudden pressure and pure disregard for what normal people regard as decent behaviour, has decided that Australia is the sort of outpost where he can indulge in his filthy habits. Get out, Cocker. Don't come back.
Overnight, in Adelaide, John Robert Cocker drew the attention of the Australian press and Parliament. Labour backbencher Frank Stewart called for Cocker's deportation. Cocker was setting a dangerous example to Australian youth. Dr. Jim Forbes, then Minister for Immigration, agreed. But before the deportee had been whisked out of the country, he was again under arrest, this time in Melbourne.
Ed Nimavol, former Go Set editor, remembers the occasion.
He was a touring artist who had been caught with marijuana. Shock, horror. The regular press swelled the photography contingent in front of the stage. Joe was drunk, therefore they got what they wanted. The promoter hid Joe away in the country so that the only time the immigration people could possibly arrest Joe was on stage. So we took the other point of view, realising that Joe was just stumbling from disaster to disaster and the press lapping it up and virtually tripping him up.
By now, Victorian and Queensland politicians had joined in the chorus for Cocker's departure. Cocker himself was confused.
Would you come back to Australia on another concert tour?
Perhaps, yeah.
Joe, do you agree that entertainers do have a moral responsibility towards young people the way they behave?
Yeah, I suppose so, you know.
Well, if you agree with that, it certainly didn't show it at that concert the other night, did you?
Well, that's your opinion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's public opinion.
It is nonsense. Not public opinion, as a matter of fact.
Nonsense.
And that issue kept Australian families divided for weeks.
Joe and his entourage were sentenced in Adelaide for possession of drugs and were deported by the Minister for Immigration shortly before the 1972 election.
You know, I think everybody should walk naked every now and again.
Another highly successful artist and long-anticipated tour to come to Australia was Cat Stevens.
I have a fantastic voice. I know it.
300 riotous fans turned out at Sydney Airport to welcome Cat Stevens to Australia. However, as Cat only wished to play to smaller audiences, there was some public outcry at the ticket price of $6.60. GoSet writer Michelle O'Driscoll acted as Cat's publicity agent whilst in Australia.
Well, Steve is obviously a very introverted person. He always took life, I think, very seriously. He always had a strong spiritual bent. He wasn't very fond of all the fame and glory that came with being a pop star. But my job then basically was to come out with him and try to keep the media away from him as much as possible. So it was an unusual media situation where you were trying to avoid the media rather than encourage them. So I would come downstairs in the morning and Steve would be by the pool saying, "Oh, wonderful, I saw you in the paper this morning being interviewed." And he'd be very happy I was there being interviewed and raving about his shows and promoting them in my own way. But he was happy that he was left alone. Trust me.
Be with us next time as we look back at some of the issues which readers wrote in to GoSet about. Hope you can join us then.